Tonight I'd love to talk to you a little bit about chanting. Many people coming for the first time don't understand our way of singing to God. It is quite different than we hear in the Orthodox churches. But the reason for that is that when we sing, we are not merely singing a hymn, a song to God, but we are, or singing a song in church, I should say, but we are actually singing to God. Our chanting and singing in the ordinary sense are very, very different, because this chanting has a much deeper meaning. The chanting has been known in India for many centuries. I have with me tonight a tape that is made, they are the Gregorian chants, and they were taped at St. Mark's Cathedral. The acoustics are a little difficult, so that you, it makes it a little difficult to understand the words clearly. But this gives you some idea of the Christian chanting. But the Hindu chanting, the chanting of the Vedas, as done by the Brahmin priests, was the original chanting that was done in the religious sense. And much of what we have in the way of chanting, of priesthood, of form, of ritual, of many things that are now in our Orthodox churches originated in India, because that is the cradle of all religions. The Hindu scriptures were, in the beginning, handed down by word of mouth. They were not even put in written form, because they were considered to be so sacred that they weren't given to the general public. They were given only to those who had proven themselves worthy to receive the truth. So the rishis, the sages, the great holy men of India, in an effort to explore the utmost of their spiritual divinity, went into the laboratories of their own souls. And they explored in every facet of their beings, every way possible, to attain the realization of their oneness with God. They came up with many wonderful things. Now, chanting is one of them. And this chanting is done as a means of concentration upon the Lord. You see, the original word, as it is described in the Christian scriptures, was also the original word in the Hindu scriptures, which were written 5,000 years before Christ is said to have come on earth. And the original word is Om. Now, we mispronounce that by calling it Amen or Amen. So the original one is A-U-M, and it's Om. Now, as you go deep within the silence of your own soul, and you chant this word, it is the original word of God. It is that vibratory force. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It is the beginning and the end. It is that which is the beginning of creation, and the dissolution of creation, and the preservation of creation. When you hear this sound, you hear it when you really hear it. You hear it with your inner ear, not with your outer ear. It seems as though perhaps you are hearing it with the inner ear, but you are not. Creation of all sound. It is the original word, the original sound, as it came forth from God. And it is the basis for all creation. In other words, Om is the creative word. And all of creation is an expression of this one word of Om. And just as though you can go near the ocean, and you can hear the roar of the ocean, the sound of the ocean, but you cannot hear the sound of the individual waves, because it's all a gentle lapping on the shore, and you can't distinguish each wave itself, but you hear the conglomerate whole. Just so it is with all the various expressions of this one word, Om, which are gathered together. Now, everything in this universe is vibratory. You see, when you chant the word Om, or when you tap any word, it is a composite thing of sound, but also it creates a thought image. So it is a combination of these two things. And the reason for the deep tapping, which can be classified perhaps into four steps, and one is the loud chanting, and then you have, this is usually done with a group, and then you have a more normal chanting, you have a whispered chanting, and then there is a mental chanting. Actually, the loud and the normal chanting could be classified as one. But the greatest of all is that which goes beyond sound. And that is what we on the spiritual path are striving for. We want to tune in with this cosmic sound that goes beyond everything that we are able to cognize in our human senses. It is just as though you hear the airplane flying overhead, and you hear the hum of the motor, but it is far distant. But just think how loud it is when you hear it on the ground. But just think of what a tremendous vibratory sound it must be making as the planets revolve one around the other. And all of the planets, all of the stellar systems in the universe are created and are kept going by this one word, this sound, this word of creation. When you stop to think of it from that standpoint, it's a tremendous thing. And so what you hear coming from your own lips in the beginning is an imaginary sound, in a sense. You hear it with your human ears, this is true. But it is not the real Om, that which came first from the bosom of God. But we use this as a practice step in the beginning, so that hearing it with our outer ear, gradually, as we sit and meditate to ourselves, we can whisper it. We can chant it, perhaps softly, to ourselves. Then the time comes when all of a sudden it seems as though the outer chanting is stopped and we can no more move our lips, and then it is taken inwardly and you hear it inside of yourself, but you also feel the power of that vibration. And just as the word came from God, it is God, so also if we concentrate on that word of Om, as we call it, Amen or Amen. You can go all the way back to God on that one vibratory word. Now, this is one very definite technique of meditation, and it's an excellent one. And you shouldn't just be singing or chatting to hear the sound of your voice, but it is, as I say, a deep method for concentration. Now, you must learn to concentrate one-pointedly before you can meditate upon God, because to meditate upon God means to have the full absorption of everything that is within you centered on that one thought of God who dwells within you. Now, you must find that God self within yourself first before you can find him everywhere equally present. So all of the techniques which I give you, and they are few indeed, because I don't believe in going into a lot of ritual, a lot of detail, because the full concentration in all that we do is upon God through the Christ consciousness, which is eminent in every atom of space, in every form that dwells in this universe. We do not want to place our attention on the ways and the means only, but we want to place our attention upon the goal. And these methods, these techniques which are given you, are but for that purpose alone. I would not like you to get bogged down in this sort of thing, because we're after the Creator. We are after the knowledge, the realization of our oneness with God. And anything that distracts us from it does us a disservice. So these steps are helpful in the beginning. only that they may take you within. They may help you to cut off these sense distractions, because you no more than put your feet on the path and start to meditate deeply, then it seems sometimes to as the expression goes, that all hell breaks loose. The telephone rings. Somebody comes to the door. You're conscious of sounds outside. An airplane flying overhead, an automobile going by, the voices of children, birds singing. Everything happens to distract your attention. Yet, if you stop to think about it, if you are truly engrossed in any kind of a good book, whether it be good or bad, if it interests you, you are dead to the world, so to speak. You can concentrate on that book, what you're reading, to the exclusion of everything else. But just try to meditate. And immediately, everything in you rises up and tries to stop you from doing this. Why is this? It is because you have this opposing force. Now, there's only one power in this whole universe. If it were not so, then God would not be omnipotent. God's power alone exists, but it goes forth from Himself. It sustains itself, and it returns to itself. And as it goes forth, it is considered a projecting power which goes away from God, although God is and nothing ever goes or comes from Him in reality. But this is the way we think of it in our dual senses. So immediately, because of that, we consider this an opposing force. And this opposing force is necessary because the magnetic force and the opposing force, one going out from God and one returning to God, equally are twins, even as the two wires, the negative and the positive wire in the cord of the lamp, operate to produce the one light or in the one bulb. So also it is with this positive and negative force within ourselves. And as I mentioned on Sunday, this positive and negative force, or as we are prone to call it in Christian terminology, the good and the evil thieves, these are, in fact, the two thieves on our own cross, because they are a part of duality, and they keep us, as long as our consciousness is centered in this duality, from realizing our oneness with the Lord who dwells within us. Now, Jesus made the statement that the kingdom of heaven was within. He also said to seek God and His kingdom first, and then all of the other things would be added unto you. Immediately, because we, particularly in the West, are so materially minded, we think of the things that we want, the possessions that we want to attain. We think of the wishes of our heart, the desires, the dreams, and we think of those being fulfilled. We think of all of this as an expression of those wishes, those hopes, those dreams. But it means more than that, because in the spiritual sense, if you seek God first, then all the mysteries of His kingdom, of all of the planes of consciousness, of all of the world, is revealed to you. It is not just a thing of the material benefits, but of the spiritual things, the knowledge. And if you would become a master on any particular level, for instance, in the psychic, the occult, the clairvoyant, any of these things, if you want to know about things, then seek God first, because He is the source, the creator, the fountainhead of spirit. And from Him, all of these things are made manifest. So it is natural to realize that if we seek Him first, the head man, who is our everything, then, having sought Him, He will open up all new worlds to us. And He will show us all of the things of the kingdom of heaven and of the kingdom of earth. Now, the mind in the beginning is very prone to reach out for these things. We like to demonstrate. We like to experience the expression of God in visions, to listen to what we hear in our inner ear, to be uplifted, and to have something that we think no one else has. Now, these things are very, very enticing. It is very interesting when visions are shown to you. It is interesting when you get these pictures and then they are fulfilled. It becomes prophecy fulfilled, so that you know whatever is given to you is the truth. But you should not seek those things. You should seek God first. You can become a master and adept on any one of these various planes on the way up. You can get God realization. As one master put it to me many years ago when I was in India, I sat before him, and he knew how badly I wanted God realization. And he said to me, I can give you God realization if you don't care what hotel you stay in. And I thought this was a very peculiar thing for him to say. And I sat and meditated upon that for a while and asked God what his true meaning was. And all of a sudden he told me that he could give me God realization at a certain level of consciousness. In other words, if I didn't care to get all the way to the top, I could settle for Mr. In-Between. But I was not interested in that. I didn't feel directed to go to him. So I paid the full price for the knowledge and the realization of my oneness with God. And my way was the way of the cross and of the Christ, even though I have been under the direction of two Hindu masters, both of them entirely universal. And one of them in particular, who taught me about the Christ and about Christianity in a way that I had never even dreamed of before. He taught me the truth. He didn't give me the intimate details as I am giving them to you, but he gave me the ways and the means to attain the knowledge of this truth. And I went that way, and I used what he gave me, and I came up with the experience which enables me to sit before you and give you this truth from the depths of my own being. Not from what I've read in books, not from what somebody else has told me or taught me, but what I have actually experienced in God myself and have paid the supreme price for, and I mean the supreme price. You must remember that the Christ said, he who will not pick up his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now your cross, the cross is the symbol of the human body, because as you stand upright with your arms outstretched and your feet together, your body is in the form of a cross. And it is upon this cross that the humanness in you must be crucified. The human ego. It is the ghost of the real self or God. And it is that ghost which Jesus surrendered. It is that ghost which every man must surrender. And after he has gone through this tremendous experience within himself, then he is filled with the power of the Holy Ghost or the divine ego. Because you must remember that in order to stay in a human body and function on this plane of duality, there must be some sense of ego. But it is a divine ego, because you have paid the full price then for your divinity. And there is only sufficiency of the human left to keep you in your form, so that you can function on this plane and totally serve the Lord. You have a new body in Christ, because, as one master told me, he said, even the bones in your body change. And yet, when the experience is so drastic as happened in my own case, sometimes the bones don't remain as they should, and they break out a little at the seams, and you have trouble with them. But the important thing is that you have the realization of your oneness with God. As I have told you many times before, no one ever attains full God realization, because God is so vast. He is the ultimate. He is the infinite. He is the eternal. And we are merely the infinitesimal cells of his one body. But in truth, we are he. We are a part of his very self. But just as the body contains all the cells, the cell contains the seed which will grow the body, but it cannot contain the body itself. And so it is with man. He cannot attain total God realization, but he can attain the total realization of his oneness with God. And from the knowledge of that oneness, then many worlds open up. And whatever that one needs, when he needs it, is given to him. Because it is God alone who speaks through that form which has become his own, which has become purified, which has become divine. which has been lifted up beyond all worlds. It is the most exciting adventure in the world, as I have told you many times, to explore this little self and to find that within it is a total universe containing in microcosmic form everything that is in the macrocosmic universe. We are an exact replica of that. Don't forget that we are made in the image and likeness of God. Therefore, we are the very expressions of God Himself. It is God in human form, because Jesus said, "This is the temple of the living God." In other words, God lives in every form which He Himself created. There is none other, but this delusive force, this human ego, comes in and it thinks of itself as separate from God. And it is the troublemaker, because in fact, this is the Antichrist in every man, that one which denies the oneness of God. Now, man himself cannot be blamed for that, because as long as we can remember, certainly, he has been taught that God and man are not one. And in most cases, in the Christian sense, he is taught that he cannot attain this total oneness in the same way that the Christ expressed it and attained it. But this is a fallacy, because the Christ himself said that all of those things that he did, that we might do also, and even greater works than these that he did, we might do. Now, if we are to believe anything that he says, we must believe all of it. Let's not just take a passage here and a passage there. He admitted that he was the Christ. But he also said, as I have said so many times before, that a disciple can never become greater than the Master. But the disciple, if he picks up his cross and follows the Supreme Master, can become as the Master. In other words, he too can attain this state of mastery and become himself a master. When you attain the realization of your oneness with God, one is not greater than the other, because God is, and we are all His expressions. We are all the children of God. The difference is that we have not yet, in the human sense, realized that we are one with Him. Just as the idea of separation began with and is contained in one thought, "I am separated from God, I must reach out for Him," so also is the idea of oneness. I and my Father are one. So if we let go of this one idea of separation and accept with equal intensity the fact of our oneness with God, that there never has been any separation, and how can there be? If God created everything and nothing was created except by Him, He is equally present everywhere. If He is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, there is none other but He in this whole universe. So where is the two that we are constantly speaking of? It is said in India that the Shudras are not permitted to chant the word Om. Now, this word came from the word Chuyata, and that word means a doubter. And then I think the word is Kathastra, or something of that nature, that means those that are in body consciousness alone cannot say the word Om and have it work for them. You must have put your feet on the spiritual path. You must have your full attention upon God. You must be reaching out for Him. You must be yearning for Him, loving Him, surrendering to Him, accepting His will in all things. And you must do this with all of your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. If you are to attain this coveted goal, don't forget it is the pearl of great price. And that price is the total transformation of the human in you to the divine. When you will go up like the Christ in the mountain of your own being, when it says that Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, He sat still. And He went up into the mountain of His own being, into His own consciousness. And there He prayed to the Lord. Now, perhaps occasionally he went up to the mountain on the outside, but the inner meaning, the symbolic meaning, or the truth of the symbolic meaning, is the fact that you go within yourself into the mountain of your own being, into the higher consciousness. Remember that in the Psalms it says that you should lift your eyes into the hills, and the hills are within yourself, even as the cave that you can retire to meditate upon God is the cave of the heart. Your body is the ashram. It is the temple of the living God. And when you learn to shut off all of the things of the senses and go within that temple and find Him alone, then you rise above time and space, the word and the atom, and you go into that original state beyond duality. Now everything that comes from God is in the form of music. I have one student in California whose whole heart and mind and soul is dedicated to God. And she has a magnificent voice. She also has a teacher who is magnificent. But this girl is totally dedicated. And when she sings, she asks the Lord to use this voice which He alone made, and to sing what He wants to sing, to express the glory and the wonder of His being through her voice. And more it is coming until it is just absolutely magnificent. And if we were to do this with every gift that we have, if we were to just make it an expression of the greatness of God and let Him do it through us instead of trying to do it ourselves because of pride, because of the wish to be flattered, what a tremendous thing it would be. When you are lifted up and you speak only from the power of the Holy Ghost within you, then that is the truth that is being spoken by the Lord through that form which He alone created. There is nothing of the idea of the individual in there as such. It is God in human form which takes over that. But first there must come the acceptance of His will, and there must come the total surrender to His will. You must be willing to let Him be the doer and not yourself. When you can turn your whole life, every thought, every word, every action over to Him and let His whole expression of Himself flow through you, I promise you the change that will come into your existence will be beyond your wildest dreams, your most vivid imagination. But you've got to work at it. Now, it is said that man must work as hard as he can to attain the realization of his oneness with God until he comes to that point where he knows that of himself he can do nothing. When Master first came to this country, my guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, he couldn't speak English very well. In fact, it was almost a foreign language to him totally. And when he was coming over on the ship, he was asked to give a talk on board ship one night. And so he said he felt like the sacrificial lamb being offered up because he couldn't think of a word to say, especially in English. And he said he got up in front of the people and he just stood there for about 10 minutes. And he said the people started to buzz and they smiled and they looked sympathetic and sorrowful for him and compassionate and all the rest of it. And he thought, my God, what will I do? And then he heard his guru's voice saying to him, you can do it. And remember that if he concentrated upon the form of the guru, God in that form, and thought of the word Om, that Om is the basis. It contains every single language there is in the universe. And he knew that if he gave himself totally to God at that moment, and let this Om word, this word that we chant, speak through him, that he would be able to speak. And strangely enough, all of a sudden he found his voice, and in perfect English, he gave a lecture for a full hour. And afterwards, the people told him that they had never heard such inspiring words of truth as was spoken to him then. And he told about another occasion when he first came to America, and he stood up before a huge audience. It was at the Congress of Religions, I believe. And he was supposed to give a speech. Nothing happened. No words would come out. And people tittered and they laughed and they smiled and they snickered. And all of a sudden, he called upon God again. He called upon his own. And he was able to go to express his thoughts and his words in English and gave a beautiful lecture. But he also admitted that the reason that he was having trouble was because somebody he had talked to had said he was coming to the lecture to hear him speak, and he was looking forward to it. So he was thinking of the impression that he was making on that man instead of giving his full attention to God. So he admitted his error. You must turn every bit of yourself over to God if you want results. Many people don't want to do that. They want to keep everything for themselves. They want the sense of doership. But they don't realize that this I that they want to keep as the doer of the deeds that are performed through their bodies is the false I. It is the delusive I. And they don't realize that the real I, the real self, is the great I am, or God himself, in their human form. And so when you turn this little self over to your real self, you're not giving it to a stranger. You're not giving the credit or the glory any place or to anyone except where it belongs to God in you, and you are He. Only you have not yet realized this. You have not yet realized it. So when you chant, do it with the utmost concentration. Think of the words that you are saying. As I've told you before, this word Om comes with a story from India, as so many things, and I will tell it for the benefit of those who haven't been here before. It is said that in the beginning God was, and he decided he wanted to express himself or to create a part of himself. And so he opened his mouth and he said, Ah! And this expression went forth, and the universe was created. And this was the first letter of the word Om, or A. And then he looked at what he created, and he saw that it was good, and he wanted to preserve it. So he puckered up his mouth, and he said, Ooh, and he brought it all together again. And this is the second word, or letter, of the word Om, or you. And then, having created, having preserved that which he created, he wanted again to withdraw it to himself. And so he puckered up his mouth again, and he said, like this. And this expressed the third letter of the word Om. And so we have the creation, the preservation, and the dissolution of this created universe in this one word. And every single sound there is contained in it. Of course, it is Om in the beginning, but when you listen to it with your ear, it is Om. Now, to go beyond the sounds in this body, many times when you are meditating, if your concentration is really deep, you will hear the sounds of your body. Each single solar plexus has an individual sound of its own. For instance, the coccygeal center, the bottom center, which is the creative center in your being, sounds like a bumblebee. The bumblebee buzzing like this. The heart center is the bell center. Then you have the heart and the flute, and you have the Christ center, which is a combination of all centers, or the ocean's roar. But when you concentrate on the sound of Om. Now listen in the beginning, and you will hear all of these body sounds. But then go beyond that, because you want to escape the idea that I am the body. You are the infinite eternal Lord, equally present everywhere. You are merely caged in this body for the moment. So what you want to do is to realize your omnipotence, your omnipresence, and your omniscience. You want to know that you are free of this cage, that you can roam the universe at will, and many wonderful experiences will come to you. So you will hear the music of the spheres. You will hear this music of the planets. Just imagine the tremendous vibratory sound of this earth as it revolves constantly. You see, we don't hear this because we're limited. We can only hear 9 octaves with our human ear, just as there are airplanes flying overhead, there are trains going, There are automobiles that are running. There are many noises, but we can hear only that which is in close proximity to us. And so we're limited in that way. But when you go beyond the idea of the body consciousness, then you are lifted up, and you can go to new planes, new worlds, new expressions of God. But in all of the experiences which come to you, do not get sidetracked. This is one reason we don't have a church. This is one reason we don't have an organization. It is one reason we don't have a name. If we call ourselves anything, we are the Master's disciples. God is the Master, and we are all His disciples. Because we want the full concentration, not on an organization, not on an outer church, but on God who dwells in the temple. This is our church. Wherever we go, we take with us this temple of the living God. And wherever we go, this being our temple, our church, we may sit and worship Him better. Remember that Jesus said to enter your secret closet. That is the center of your own being. And He said to pray unceasing and rejoice evermore. Because when you pray unceasing, your whole being is lifted up. Your consciousness is lifted up. You are filled with the power and the presence and the light of God. And you should feel this in every part of your being. And it registers itself in the beginning, in the highest sense, in the human, as human ecstasy. But you must refuse that human ecstasy. And you must head for the divine, because the price must be paid for this greater experience of God. The one can lead to madness, the other will lead to eternal bliss and happiness, and the conscious knowledge of your oneness with God, and access to everything in the way of knowledge there is in the universe. There is really no choice, you see. So, go to the source of things, to the heart of things, and as you see these various manifestations coming before, thank God for the experience, but say, Father, I want only Thee. Remove the veils of ignorance from before my eyes, and let me see Thee face to face. Father, Father, reveal Thyself, reveal Thyself.